Before we get started, I want to say a big thank you to everyone who has stepped in through our Patreon site to support what Skirmish Play does, to kind of help our mission out, to help us do some unique things. That's made it possible for us to upgrade some of our equipment this year. We're really excited to take it out there. We did that over the summer, to take it out there, make some things happen this fall, some kind of unique things. And you guys with Patreon have really made that possible. We hope more folks will jump on board with us. Come on and support us. You can check it out at patreon.com/skirmishplay. Definitely want to, to have anybody who is, excited about what we're doing over here, excited about our mission, to jump in and come out and support us. So that's definitely a critical part of what we do. So thanks a lot, and enjoy the podcast.
This is Bart Isley. I'm here with Ryan Heeman for the latest edition of the Skirmish Play podcast. And right off the top, we'd like to thank the SP podcast presenting sponsor, C&G Paving. If you want your paving or asphalt job done right the first time, you want C&G to knock it out. With 30 years of experience under owner Jeff Gray, this family-owned local business has been taking care of roads, parking lots, and driveways across Central Virginia for decades. And with a 5-star rating on Facebook, you know they're going to get it done right. Give them a call at 540-456-6179 today for a free estimate. And again, that's C&G Paving. And we want to say a big thank you to them for jumping in and sponsoring the podcast. But let's go ahead and jump into this week. We saw a few wins that we kind of expected. We expected Monticello to take care of business against Western. They did it. We saw Louisa take care of business against Powhatan. I think you said it, that Powhatan tried to come in and establish the run. Louisa wasn't really having any of that. So nope. That defense continues to clip along. But probably the most interesting win was Almar over Orange. Thriller in a great game, and Almar gets up off the mat after a 4-game losing streak.
Yeah, I mean, Almar had to have this one. And I think we sort of described it in weekly briefing. I think it's fairly accurate. Like, wounded animals, just sort of how I feel about that team. Like,
absolutely.
You just got to be careful because Almar has the weapons and just the overall ability to put together some big games. They just haven't done it quite so far, and then finally this week they get it done. And Orange is a tough opponent. They gave him trouble last year. Kenyon Carter, just really good junior year at quarterback, and has just really established himself as one of the better athletes in the Jefferson District. And then he's going up against Jaquan Anderson, who has himself a night. Mm-hmm. It was everything sort of worked out well there for Albemarle. It's a tough loss for Orange, but Orange is in a different spot than Albemarle was. They already had 3 wins on the year, I think Albemarle had to have this one.
Yeah, because now we understand, we've been talking about Region 5D for a little while, but now it's been brought to our attention that perhaps they are not an all-in region. It appears that it's a top-8 situation. So that means Albemarle has some work to do. They have a favorable schedule to
close. I was going to say, between that and their schedule, Don't be surprised if Albemarle sneaks out with a little winning streak at the close of their regular season. I think it would not be too crazy.
Brandon Isaiah said it about a team right after the Monticello loss. He said that everything that they wanted to do is still out there, that it was still achievable. And they didn't roll over. They went out and they, in a very difficult environment and a very difficult set of circumstances, they pull out the win and get it done. Jaquan Anderson, like you said, goes bonkers.
Yeah, if you were at the game, like the back and forth in that one is crazy. Keeping track of it on Twitter is just one after another. Very interesting the way that game sort of played out.
And they got in a hole and they fought out. They had the fumble recovery to get it done. Kayshawn Allen, that guy continued, his name keeps showing up right now.
He's been sort of the breakout star for them, I think, offensively.
Similar to Lorenz Brown last year. And I think if they can get more out of him down the stretch, and I think they can, they will. DeQuadre Taylor has found a role now. He was pretty good, a couple of touchdowns, I think, against Orange. But you know, they're going to live and die with how Anderson plays.
And right, I think offensively they have more than enough to get the job done. It's just defensively, can they keep teams in the 20s?
Yeah.
And if they do that, I think they have enough offense to win all those games.
And a better defensive performance than Charlottesville had against them, and that's who they faced this against Orange, and that's who they faced this week. Mm-hmm. But you know, we're going to talk about that game in a little bit. But yeah, Albemarle had to have it, had to get off the mat. And they get it done. That's what you really like to see from a football team. When it's a must-win game, they rise to the occasion and get it done. So, and the guys that we had out there covering that one, Luke Nancarney, said that it was the maybe the best high school game he'd ever seen. So,
yeah, that's pretty cool.
High praise. The guy's been covering stuff for us for a number of years. So high praise from Luke on that one. So let's jump in. We're going to jump into awards because we definitely want to talk about these games that we've got coming up this week, because this is a huge moving week in the Jefferson District. But let's go ahead and run through some awards. Let's start with the CNG Road Grader of the Week. And it's a guy who, you know, isn't necessarily a big name, but he plays both ways. He's been a big standout and a great start that Covenant has had in Cole Harvey. The guy is a two-way lineman. He's been clearing the way this year for 1,500 on the ground. Harvey, they've already piled that up as a team. Between Donovan Jackson and Jonas Sanker and John Hemme, they've got a great set of options in the ground game. Jackson is just so reliable. He gets it up there in the middle. And Harvey's a big reason why they've been able to move it, you know, for 1,500 already this year.
Yeah, you look at the different rushers that Covenant's had, and none of this happens without some guy that can just sort of go two ways. Covenant's a small Division II private school. The numbers are not very high at Covenant as far as their roster goes. They can ill afford to have kids not come out. And so Harvey's a guy that he plays both ways. It's going to matter sort of game wise, length wise, how many snaps that guy's in there for, and it sets things up for a Sanker, a Hemme, any of these guys, Jackson. I think it's pretty crucial to have just those guys that are durable, gritty, and go about their business.
And they had those guys. I mean, let's be honest. Like, they've had Joseph Payne.
Yep.
Cole Harvey's been that way. Jameson Stelgis. Like, even in this very recent era, they've had linemen who could step up. At one point, they were using Sam Patterson at, like, tight end, the guy who played wide receiver at VMI. They were using him at tight end, but he was a pivotal blocker for him. They've had linemen who have stepped up over the years. They're not the biggest guys. They're not going to be, you know, Division I type recruits. They're not going to be huge, massive maulers, but they're going to be guys who can get in the way, who can get things done. And Harvey has emerged really nicely on defense as well. Yeah. He's an improved player over there, and that's making a big difference for them. And you got to give it up for what Seth Wilson is doing in year one is awesome.
4-1, I think. I mean, that's a pretty good start. You gotta be happy with that. And the only loss is to a very good Blue Ridge team.
Yeah.
So you look at the results at Covenant and just how Wilson's come in, sort of kept things similar enough, made his own changes, and then kids like Harvey sort of paved the way. That like Cole Harvey is like, it's a name that gets lost when you read Jonas Sanker had, you know,
sure,
150 yards rushing kind of thing.
Yeah.
It's those sort of yeomen up front that get lost in the mix, but they're the straw that stirs the drink.
And they got it done against Fishburne this week, 150 on the ground, another, you know, almost a couple hundred through the air. They're balanced this year. And part of the reason they're doing that is because a guy like Harvey is a versatile blocker who can, you know, clear the way when it comes to running, but he can also protect John Hemme when it comes to passing. So you got to have those kind of guys, and every team wants to have one of those, and obviously Covenant has it in Cole Harvey. Bumping over to skill position, I don't think there's really any question about this one this week. Jaquan Anderson from Albemarle. Garrett Porterfield, I believe, from Monticello, said that he felt like that Jaquan was about 90% of Albemarle's offense. And when you have a night like what Jaquan Anderson had against Albemarle, it looks like he is close to 90% of what they're doing. 32 rushes, 223 yards, and 2 touchdowns. Another 7 of 12 through the air for 136 and 2. Has 3 touchdowns, sorry, rushing, 2 touchdowns on through the air. Yeah, I mean, we've been talking about Jaquan Anderson for a couple of years now, and I'm running out of adjectives for
him. And lost in those stats are how many of those passing plays did he sort of extend downfield because he's so elusive?
Certainly.
I mean, he just brings so much. He's so agile. And when you watch him sort of at work, what he does, the stop and start is really what's so crazy. He just has this ability to just make people miss because his first two steps are so good. And that's something that, that you see on the game tape. It's just, and it throws everybody off defensively. I don't know how you defend against a guy that can slash you for 220 on the ground and then throw for, you know, he had 136, but he could easily throw for a buck 50. So yeah, I don't know what you do to draw up something to stop that. He's too good.
Yeah. Anderson, man, he's just a really special player. He's a very clutch guy too. We've seen him in some close games. And again, in this one, he pulls it out. I mean, he's kind of a wizard when it comes to that stuff.
I mean, even their loss to Louisa, they're going up against the I would say the best defense in the Jefferson District and maybe the best defensive player in the state, Brandon Smith. And he had a pretty good game against them. Yeah. I mean, they were able to take away enough of what he does that Louisa was able to sort of roll in that one, but he still had a good game against that. I mean, he's having himself a year.
Special, special kid. And another guy that we knew what he was coming in the year, but maybe a little different role, Job Whalen for Louisa County is our defensive player of the week. And we're used to talking to this guy. He's been a 1,400-yard machine since he was a freshman. But we want to talk about him on the defensive side.
Yeah, for a couple weeks, I think it was 2 or 3 weeks ago, the coaching staff is sort of on the sideline saying that they think Whalen enjoys playing linebacker more than he does running back. And I don't think that's all that uncommon. We see as players get older, they sort of embrace the defensive side of the ball. But Louisa, they run that 3-5-3 scheme, and it's Whalen's sort of a linebacker out on the edge there. And he was just all over the Powhatan backfield. He had 3 tackles for a loss, two sacks. And, I mean, he was just a menace, really sort of creating havoc. And, you know, they've got a lot of defensive pieces, but he's really become a big part of it. And it's always cool to see somebody in their senior year just embrace a different role than they're used to. We're so used to his sort of 1,500-yard rushing seasons, and now he's doing – he's still running the ball. They got some help back there.
He's doing just fine over there.
Yeah, well, and they have so many weapons back there, you know, at running back. You can run Jarrett Hunter, Raekwon Jones, David Sharp's been huge. And so it's cool that he's been able to balance things out by adding – you know, sort of his defensive you know, skills here.
And Bell has been big over there on defense as
playing
well.
Playing a little Bell's safety role, yeah.
As well. And we've seen, you know, on the, you know, we know what Brandon Smith is. Mm-hmm. So this is becoming, if you're a quarterback or you're a running back, it's got to feel like you're in, like, some kind of Top Gun dogfight with all these guys coming at you. I mean, they are just, it is an array of dudes.
And the way they line up, you're looking at just 9 dogs. Frothing at the mouth coming after the ball, and so they're getting better in the defensive backfield.
Not only that, let's not forget Tony Thurston, really really good.
That defensive line is a different story. But, yeah, I mean, you look at that front nine, it's just like, wow, what do you do against it? But if that doesn't happen unless Whalen does his job on the edge. Raekwon Jones has been huge for them too. There, they've got all the weapons contributing in the right way, and when you have that depth and that balance, like, it's just so tough.
I mean, just think, I mean, you got Smith, who's kind of reading and reacting a lot, right? And then he's just kind of taken off, and then you got Whalen attacking on the edge. Like, I don't really know how you solve this, Louisa. You know, it's like we said about Jaquan Anderson, maybe he's an unsolvable problem on offense. Mm-hmm. You know, Kevin Jarrell over at Monticello seems to be maybe an unsolvable problem on offense. Unsolvable defenses, though, man. I think Louisa is that squad. I don't know. I don't know what the answer is against them.
Yeah, I think they have so much there that they're able to sort of tweak things a little bit. I don't know that there's a whole lot they can't sort of account for.
Sure.
I feel like they have a number of guys that can handle different roles. If you have to run spy, they can do that. It seems like if you have all the ingredients, you know, there's just no recipe they can't come up with.
And that transitions us really nicely into previews for 2 huge games this week, Monticello versus Louisa and Almar versus Charlottesville. Let's start with Monticello-Louisa. Wasn't necessarily the game that everyone circled going into the year. I think that was more Louisa-Almar.
Probably.
But we also, about 3 games into this year, you saw this one coming.
Yeah, I mean, you saw it. So Monticello just... against Spotswood, that was sort of for me, the big coming out party for them. But then after Monticello beats Albemarle, you know, 2 weeks ago, you just, okay, Monticello Louisa, that's going to be the game that sort of defines the Jefferson District standings. And it really sort of felt, I don't know how you thought about it, but last week was almost sort of a transitional week.
Yeah, like
everyone just sort of, this is the one that's coming.
Everybody's trying to get to this one. Yeah. I think, you know, it certainly, Monticello did not look past Western. I can at least say that. They were really fired up for that one. They kind of had a little bit of a flatter first half, but they were getting the job done.
But you could say this is exact same thing, Louisa playing Western 2 weeks ago.
Sure.
So it seems like that's kind of an interesting piece of the puzzle. You know, they both just come off of playing Western. That's the game tape you study, I guess. And Western sort of had some threw some fits for both squads. But
yeah, had some problems for Monticello in particular. I think that, you know, they couldn't figure out how to get it moving on the ground, so they were, you know, took to the air with it. Gerald had a career night passing. Odds are good that he's going to have something similar against Louisa.
I think it's pretty cut and dry there. I think Louisa knows that's how Monticello has to beat them, so they'll try and prepare for that. And I think if you're Monticello, you look at the results, and here's what happens if you run up the middle against Louisa. You lose. So it seems, I mean, pretty simple. But
what about if you run to the outside?
You lose. But either way, something has to give here. I think this is pretty cool that it's going to be sort of strength on strength. You look at how good this defense is for Louisa and how good this offense has been for Monticello, and something just sort of has to find a way. I mean, knowing the way things play out, this will be a 3-2 football game somehow.
I mean, you just
something
expect
it'll happen.
You expect some really good things. This one should be just a really fun match. And we found out, you know, last week, and then they made it official yesterday that they're going to dedicate the field to Mark Fisher.
Big week for them coming up.
Yeah, and there's no question. Let's be very clear. Louisa County loves an emotional edge. They are masters of a sort of motivation, and they care about those sort of things. You know, we've seen it with the words on the jerseys in the past. We've seen it with dog tags.
I feel like we're almost numb to it because we're used to seeing it so much.
We see it, but they're really good at using it. They're really good at it. And don't doubt that that will play a factor in this.
And any sort of people that we work with in the media, the first time they come to a Louisa game, they always say, like, I always heard that it was pretty crazy out here. I didn't know it'd be this crazy.
Yeah.
And that's just sort of a
what's the Jeep? You sent us a video of the Jeep rolling on the sidelines.
Dude in a tractor just driving down all the way over to the Powhatan fan base. I mean,
I'll tell you right now, Louisa never ceases to amaze. It's fun stuff, and you can expect they had a skydiver at the one last week. They're going to dedicate the field to Fisher. You know they're going to have fireworks.
All the stops.
It's going to be this one is going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be loaded. Get there early, or you're not getting a seat.
Yep.
So, go ahead.
They're sort of lost in that mix between Monticello Louisa's is Albemarle Charlottesville.
Yeah, that's a game. This game is big. Big game. Two really big ones this week. And Almar, Charlottesville, Pitts. This is always a fun one. It was a blast last year, I think.
Strange comeback.
Yeah, man. Almar won on a pick six, I think. A strange set of circumstances sort of surrounded, you know, the whole situation and then the aftermath and everything. You know, these are two. This is, to me, this is one of those, you know, like a Madison, William Monroe, the guys know each other. They've grown up playing with each other.
This is youth football roots.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, Western Monticello, where everybody kind of knows each other. They've been playing each other for years and a lot of different stuff. Albemarle Charlottesville is that game. I mean, some of these guys, you know, we know, you know, that are playing for Albemarle grew up, you know, going to school in Charlottesville, or they've been in Charlottesville schools for a while. So there's so much where these guys know each other really well. And I think that, you know, it's going to be interesting to see, you know, Charlottesville is rolling right now, but Almar suddenly has momentum. And you're seeing a stylistic clash again, which is always fun. Charlottesville's triple option versus Almar spreading it out.
Yeah, and I think Almar's had to deal with something that Charlottesville did early on, but for the last couple of weeks hasn't. And that's just sort of the pressure.
Yeah.
Charlottesville's really put together a nice run here. But early on, those first couple weeks, we're wondering, is Charlottesville going to come out of this 1-2? 3-0, 0-3, like we just didn't know. They did a nice job, come out of it 2-1, jump into Jefferson District play, and they haven't looked back since. I mean, they've just been piling up the points.
And I think it's worth noting that against, you know, an offense that can do it, you know, do things, you know, a number of different ways, like Orange, they did struggle. They struggled against it. They struggled a little bit against Harrisonburg. So the defense has got, you know, got to be locked in, got to be tuned up. They're a little bit bend but don't breaky anyway. But if they can make some turnovers, they can make some things happen. That'll, you know, that would be huge. And Almar has shown, at least until last week, showed a propensity for getting into some of those situations and shooting themselves in the foot. So Charlottesville's going to need to force that issue a little bit.
And I think this game, sort of, if you look at the way the scores have played out, where Orange against Charlottesville, Albemarle against Orange, I think this has sort of a high-scoring mark on it. I think you're going to see two teams get in the 40s, maybe both get in the 50s, and just have a back and forth. I guess the first team that punts loses kind of thing, maybe in this one. But yeah, it should be a lot of fun. There should be some great highlights out of this. These are two very athletic teams, and it has sort of a highlight reels vibe to it.
Yeah, I think that's what we saw last year. I mean, it wasn't hugely high scoring, but the big plays were big, exciting plays. And I think you're right. I think we're going to see another one of those sort of classics. This one's got a lot of potential. Some great, it's got stars. It's got some star power, just like a Louisa Monticello does with Gerald versus Smith. I mean, some of these matchups are just super fun. Mm-hmm. In that one, you're going to see Gerald trying to throw Smith off. You're going to see him trying to, like, you know, use his eyes to make it work, and that is going to be tough because that guy is just so good. Both of them are really good. And, you know, when you flip over to Albemarle Charlottesville, you're going to see some really interesting match. You're going to see Anderson. You know, we saw a few years ago, Ken Henry versus, you know, Rashard Davis was this duel within a duel.
Yeah.
Where it was, you know, Henry stepped out for Western, I think that you've got a very good foil situation in Jaquan Anderson versus Sam Neill, where one is a triple option quarterback who runs the ball well, who is just nasty when it comes to fakes, just a magician. And then you've got Jaquan Anderson, who is just so talented at extending plays that he can change the entire dynamic and force a defense to defend for like 20 minutes of play. I mean, it's bonkers. And I think that when you see those two quarterbacks going out, that's going to be a fun sort of matchup within the matchup.
Yeah, and the sort of the best part about like this week between Monticello Louisa and Albemarle Charlottesville is it sets the stage for Louisa Charlottesville down the road. It's cool how it's going to sort of snowball into another thing.
The Jefferson District Round Robin never ceases to disappoint. It's every year, the characters change a little bit, but we're going to see some fun stuff. So thank you for listening. We really appreciate it. And thanks for sticking around. And we'll be back next week after this really, really big week for Jefferson District football to talk more football. Thanks a lot.